We'll stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read verses 10 through 14. Verses 10 through 14. Philippians chapter 3. And we will read responsively verses 10 through 14. I'll read, then you read, and so forth. Philippians 3, verses 10 through 14. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Let's read verse 14 together. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for tonight, God. And we thank you for this practical message that's going to come forth in just a few moments. Holy Spirit of God, I ask you to fall on me, anoint my lips, guide my mind, Lord. Give me clarity tonight. Give me strength. Holy Spirit, fall upon the hearts, Lord. Challenge us tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go ahead and use this mic, the red mic. Of course, the title of my message tonight is I Press Toward the Mark. And, of course, my theme for the program is pressing, or I press toward the mark, or pressing toward the mark. A very familiar passage. Oh, man, we've all heard hundreds, probably almost thousands, if you will, but hundreds of sermons from this particular text. It'll probably be very familiar in many, many ways. But I want to be a blessing. I hope the Lord will be a blessing to you tonight. And I want to challenge you tonight in many areas of your life and even in our church life here as well. I'm not a fan of the word status quo, especially if it comes to something that I know that I have control in making it better. You know, I hear people saying, well, we're just status quo, or we're just going to be average, or we're going to be normal, or different things, and so forth. And sometimes that's where it's got to be, maybe certain situations. But when I know that something can be bettered in the power of God, with God's help, you know, I think with God's help, we can better many, many different areas of our lives. But when I know that things can be bettered, I'm up for that kind of challenge. I'm not just in for the norm. I'm not just in for the status quo. I'm really not one just to be average, if you will. I don't want to just have an average church or an average marriage or an average job or average relationships. And, of course, that to me is the focal point, or if you will, makes up a lot of our life, them four different areas. But if I have any control by God's grace to improve on that which God has given me, I want to do my dead level best to do it. In other words, you know, here I am, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. I don't want just a status quo. I don't want to just be the average preacher, if you will. And again, I have many faults, and God keep on working on me. But the truth of the matter is, I don't want to be just average. I don't want to be the average preacher. I don't want to be just the average preacher that has an average prayer life or an average walk with God. I want to better the things that I know can be bettered. I don't want to be just status quo. You see, I believe that God has given us all the ability to improve upon that which he's given us. You know, you can improve your job. You know, you can improve your work ethic, if you will. You know, these people that go ahead and they fuss and complain about their job, you know, it's no wonder why it's just average to them. And it's no wonder why sometimes they're without a job, because they're turning around complaining about the boss, complaining about the job, this and that. You know what? Why? Because they're just kind of that average. I don't want to use this term because we have a couple Joes here, but that average Joe, okay? Don't take it offensively. But that average person just kind of, it's no wonder why they don't excel in their job. It's no wonder why they don't excel perhaps in certain areas of their life. You know, people that say, well, I have an average marriage. You know, your marriage can be more than average. You know, it really can be. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, after you get to know your wife or your spouse or what have you for many years, you know, it ought to be better. It really should. So think of all the time and the hours and the different things that you've been able to spend. The low valleys and the high mountains that you spent together. You know what? Instead of just say becoming an average couple or an average family or an average marriage, you know what? You ought to take all the experiences that you have and make them for good. You ought to take all the adversity maybe that you face in your marriage life, not necessarily fussing and bickering. I'm not saying that, but maybe some struggles and financially or some struggles in health and different things. And instead of going ahead and distancing yourself, you ought to allow them to, first of all, to bring you closer together and also allow them to go ahead and help other people around you. I'm just not that kind of guy that just wants to be average in these areas. I don't want just an average church. I mentioned it earlier in introducing our program. I believe in church growth. The book of Acts, it's all absorbed through that whole book, that church growth is necessary. I do believe in church growth. I believe that we ought to go house to house, as the Bible says, knock on every door that we can, try to win every person to Christ that we possibly can. I believe in church growth. I believe in incentive, if you will. I believe in trying to grow instead of just being average. You know, I could have came here, if you will, and I hope I'm not. I hope you see that. But I could have came here and just said, okay, we'll just kind of remain average. And that's about it. I don't want to be just average. I want to get as many people under the sound of the gospel that we possibly can. You know, there are little boys and girls dying going to hell tonight that need to be reached. You know, there are families out here in the Carver area. I'm talking about the middle class, even some of the upper class areas. They're dying going to hell tonight. And you know, we have the old time religion tonight. And we have, I know we have what the world needs tonight. That's the word of God. Okay, we know the Jesus that saves tonight. And I don't want to just be average. I don't want to be nonchalant in our soul winning. I don't want to be just nonchalant in the ministry that we have. I don't want to be just an average or status quo kind of preacher. I don't want my marriage just to be status quo. I want my marriage to be better than it ever has. I want my job or our jobs ought to be better than it ever has. Your work ethic ought to be stronger today than it was yesterday. Why? Because you've had the privilege or opportunity to work maybe for several years. And teenagers, you know, you ought to learn how to work. Young people, it doesn't matter whether you're just teenagers, you ought to learn how to work from a young age. You know, dads and moms, you know, I can't stress enough, you ought to develop some jobs for your kids. And kids, when your moms and dads have laid out a plan or some duties or some chores for you to do, instead of fussing and bickering and complaining about it, you are to go ahead and do it. Okay, take on a little bit of responsibility. Your mom and dad shouldn't have to go ask you 3 or 4 or 5 times if the trash or if the bed is clean, bedroom's clean, or if this is done, or if this is done. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you know, you shouldn't want to be just an average kid or just an average teenager. You shouldn't want to be just an average Christian. We shouldn't want to be just average on our job. We shouldn't want just an average relationships around us. You know, it frustrates me when family members, kind of bicker fuss back and forth. It really frustrates me. You know, I hear people, they're fussing back and forth and so forth, and they can't get along. I'm talking about family members. You know, I'm talking about moms and dads. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, adults now getting along with mom and dad. You know, adult, we ought to get over that. You know, you won't have your mom and dad forever. You know, and if you have a disagreement with them and so forth and so on, I'm not saying you're going to be on the same page with everything, but the truth of the matter is you ought to strive to get along. You ought to strive to do everything you can to even have your kids under them, under some of their wisdom and different things. But, you know, you got to be careful. I understand that. But the truth of the matter is, you know, when you have mom and dad around, this is the time to go ahead and love on them because you won't have them forever. But, you know, I'm talking about relationships. We shouldn't just strive just to have an average relationship. You see, I mentioned it a moment ago. I believe God has given us all the ability to improve upon which he's given us. You know, the Bible says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things include my marriage. All things, you know, I can have a happy, peaceful marriage. My job, I can do what it takes to work hard and be honest on the job. My ministry, I will and can do what it takes to be what I need to those God has led me to lead. My relationships, I can get along with people. I can improve upon which God has given me. My marriage ought to be sweeter today than it was yesterday. My relationships with others ought to be stronger today than it was yesterday. I ought to have a stronger work ethic today on the job than I ever have because I've had many years, if you will, to work. Our ministry ought to be stronger this month than it was last month. We ought to just desire, we ought not just desire just to slide by and be average. We ought to have a mark to press towards. You know, you ought to set a goal. Think of every area, you know, many, many areas of life, or every area of life, you ought to set a goal. You know, if you don't go ahead and shoot for something, you're never going to hit it. You know, you ought to set a goal. And I've set some goals here at church, at the church. The truth of the matter is, a lot of the goals that I have set since the very day I got here, we're fulfilling. You know, I've looked to almost doubled our Sunday schools. I've looked to do many, many different things and so forth. And I see a lot of good things happen. Why? Because I think I got a little vision and I have some goals set. And I just think it's just right, because the Bible says, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I know our text is very familiar, but let's look at where Paul is. Paul, of course, he's in prison here. I don't know if I could have, when you read this portion of Scripture, or when you read almost any portion of Scripture that Paul writes, I don't know if I could always have this kind of attitude he has. You know, it seems like he's always on top side. He really does. You know what? I read a passage yesterday in Acts, and I couldn't flip right to it right now. But you know what? One day, he was stoned and cast out of the city. And the next day, you know what? The very next day, he was up preaching again. You know what? He was always on top side. I don't know if I could always have that kind of attitude. But here we see Paul. He's in prison. Cold, gritty, dirty, cobwebby kind of prison. Perhaps his rats, no doubt. Uncomfortable surroundings. Yet Paul was probably the most courageous and a man with more character than I've ever read about. You know, I admire Paul. I admire his writings. I admire his Christianity. Boy, we ought to get back to that kind of Christianity. We ought to get to that kind of Christianity under our belt, so to speak, where we have a little bit of grit. Boy, we need grit today in the Christian life. I mean, we kind of, every time, you know, we kind of, we don't like to go against the wind. You know, we don't like a little bit of opposition. We kind of do this and find out whatever the way the wind blows is how we're going to be. You know what? Sometimes you got to stand for something. Sometimes you got to go ahead and stand your ground. And it may not always be popular. It may not always be exactly easy. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We have to go ahead and stand our ground. You know, Paul was the kind of preacher that stood his ground. He didn't care what the city council thought. He wasn't concerned about what the townspeople thought. You know, he just went ahead and he pressed toward the mark. He kept on going on. He kept on going forth. Paul did not quit when the chips were down. He still kept going after that goal which God had for him. You see, a salvation, Paul was wrapped up in a cause, and that cause being Jesus Christ. You go back to Acts chapter 9, his conversion. Once he got saved, once he went in and saw Ananias, the Bible says immediately he went out and preached the gospel. You know what? As soon as he got saved, there was talk about a great change since I've been born again. You know what? Paul had a great change. He didn't go back to the world. He didn't go back to persecuting Christians. The old desires of the world was gone. Hey, the Bible says immediately he got baptized and he started preaching the gospel. Oh, how we need that kind of Christianity. I'm so sick and tired of Christians. They go ahead and they want to get saved and so forth, but the truth of the matter is, after they get saved, or not long after, they don't stand. They don't stand their ground. They figure out whatever way the wind's blowing, and now they're back in the world. Hey, what we need Christianity with a little bit of grit tonight. We need some grit in our Christian life. We need to get wrapped up in a cause like the Apostle Paul was. You know, Paul was wrapped up in a cause. That's Jesus Christ. Good cause to get wrapped up in, by the way. You let Jesus Christ be the focal point of your life. Let me tell you something. The internet pornography won't affect you. You go ahead and let Jesus be the focal point in your cause. Pornography won't go ahead and affect you. You go ahead and let Jesus be your cause and your focal point. The rock music won't go ahead and affect you. You go ahead and let Jesus be your focal point and your cause. The country music, the honky-tonk music, talk about sleeping around on your wife and so forth. Hey, that won't go ahead and affect you. Hey, what I'm trying to say, we need to get wrapped up in a cause. The Apostle Paul was wrapped up in a cause. The Apostle Paul, being cast out of cities, remained true to that cause, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, being stoned and left for dead, remained true to his cause, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, he was shipwrecked in Acts chapter 27, remained true to his cause, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, being mocked at and scorned, remained true to his cause, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, being in prison, remained true to his cause, Jesus Christ. We read here he's in prison right here in the book of Philippians, preaching the gospel, but all through it all, he remained true to his cause. He loved serving God once he got saved. What a great change since he was born again. After all, he did say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Oh boy, every time I read Paul's books and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the portion of Bible that God allowed had him write, boy, you know what? It seems like Paul was just always on top side. You know, he just seems like he was the kind of Christian that had a little bit of grit. Oh, we need that again in our Christian life. Paul was consistent to his cause. Paul was focused on his cause. Paul never wavered in his cause. Why? Because he had a mark and he was pressing towards that mark. He had God's will and he was pressing towards God's will. He had a race to run and finish. He had a young Timothy to train his son in the ministry he would call. He had souls to reach on his missionaries' journeys. He had a Bible to write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He had people to reach, families to help, churches to serve. That is why he didn't go ahead and waver, because he was wrapped up in a cause. He had a goal set and nothing was going to go ahead and get him off track. He was grounded, man. He stood his ground. You know, he didn't care. You know, you go back to when he was facing King Agrippa. They were trying to accuse him and different things. And boy, King Agrippa, old King Agrippa back there in the book of Acts, I think it was Acts chapter 26, you know what? He almost got saved. He almost got saved. Paul, you know, it didn't matter whether he was having to answer for Christ under a king or councils. You know, he stood his ground. It amazes me what we allow to get us off track. It amazes me what we allow to slow us down in pressing toward the goal that God has laid out for us. I mentioned earlier that term, pressing towards the mark, literally means in pursuit of a goal. You know what? Paul was going somewhere. Where are you going tonight? Teenager, where are you going tonight? Church member, where are you going tonight? You know, Paul had a vision. Paul had a view. You know what? Yes, he was limited with his surroundings in prison. You know, I'm sure knowing old Paul, you know, he loved to preach and he loved to go ahead and go soul winning. Knowing Paul, he would love to be outside them prison walls and he loved to go out on the street corner, or he'd love to go start another church. He loved to keep on preaching. But you know, he was limited between them walls. But he says, you know, I'm still going to press towards the mark. I'm not going to go ahead and just sit here in jail and rot. I'm not going to let my circumstances get me down. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and press toward the mark. Hey, I'm in hot pursuit for the will of God. Hey, I want to be able to say, and he did say it back in 2 Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, and you know what? That's my goal for you, church. That's my goal for you. That's why, teenagers, I preach the way I do. I want you to get wrapped up in a cause. I want you to be able to train young people one day. I want you to have a testimony that'll excite young boys and girls to live for the Lord. And I want you to be able to say one day, teenager, I have kept the faith. And I want you, church members, your moms and dads here tonight, I want you to be the kind of Christian that you can say, hey, you know what? When you're laying on your deathbed, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I am going to keep on keeping on. It amazes me what we allow to get us off track. It amazes me what we allow to slow us down in pressing toward the goal that God has laid out for us. It amazes me what we choose, that we would choose another mark over God's mark. It amazes me. Christians who go ahead and see preachers quit the ministry for something else. I don't understand that. I love preaching. I love the ministry. I don't understand why anybody would want to do that. I've seen Christians go ahead and quit church. I'm talking about deacons. I'm talking about good Christian families. Whatever reason, they just go ahead and stop pressing toward the mark of God and find their own mark. I don't understand why you want to quit something so wonderful. I really don't. And don't misunderstand me. You know, you quit church doesn't mean you lost salvation, but you know, you lose a whole lot of blessing when you do. You lose a whole lot of blessing. But what I'm trying to say here tonight, it amazes me what we allow to get us off track. It amazes me how Christians have forfeited the mark or will of God for worldly delights. It amazes me. You know, teenagers, you know, forfeit God's perfect will of being virgin till marriage to play around with the opposite sex. You'll say, well, they do it under the guise of, I'm only going to hold hands. That's it. By the way, that's where it starts. That's where it starts. It's no wonder why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 7:1b, the last part of that verse, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Hey, you know what? Premarital touching leads to places you thought you'd have control of before you dated. You know, you think you go ahead and get it under control, but let me tell you something. That touch between a man and a woman, it ought to be, it is to be under a marriage vows. That's where it starts. That's where it's to be. It's not to be outside of marriage. You have every right to do that once you get that ring on your finger. But the truth of the matter is, hey, teenager, it's not worth it. You stay away from that, them girls. You stay away from them boys. I'm not against you being interested. I'm not against you liking one another. I'm not looking to raise a bunch of queers around here. I think that is normal, by the way, normal attraction. But let me tell you something. It is not right for you to go ahead and touch the opposite sex until you get married. No wonder why we have all the teen pregnancy today and the abortions. It's no wonder why we have kids that are all out of whack simply because they couldn't control themselves. You know what I'm saying? Premarital touching, it starts a fire, and it is very hard for you to go ahead and quench it. It's very, very hard. And it leaves one feeling guilty and tainted and unclean. Hey, the act of marriage is between a husband and a wife. But your music will fuel that kind of behavior, by the way. That sexual behavior. Talks of sex and sex acts and drugs and rebellion and you know, how does that develop a mind of Christ in you? It's not just teenagers dealing with it either. You know, parents, what we listen to in our home, your kids seeing it. What you allow to watch on that box, your kids are seeing it. You know, you got to be very, very careful, and you got to guard things today. You know, that music that talks about rebellion and drugs, how it affects the mind, and how can you have a mind of Christ? The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Will that music and what you watch on TV cause you to think godly thoughts? Go ahead and be loose with your music, teenager. And why don't you, when you do that, set the Word of God right down by your stereo. You know what? Normally when that happens, the Word of God's never nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. What I'm trying to say, you let this mind, the Bible says, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What actually went through Christ's mind? Was it the acts of premarital sex? No. Take Christ through his, and he was a teenager on earth. He was subject to like passions like we are. I thank God he never succumbed to them. That would have destroyed the very plan of his heavenly Father. But he was subject to like passions. You know what went through Christ's mind? Was it acts of premarital sex? No. Was it the music of Britney Spears of the day and Eminem? No. Could Christ's mind be pure if he was listening to the bar hopping, honky-tonk country music that promotes running around on your spouse, shacking up in one-night stands? Hey, does that develop a Christ-like mind? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, Christ's mind was focused upon his Father's plan, and had he fell to the garbage of the day, he would have forfeited being the precious Lamb of God. You know, kids, you know, your dad, your parents have a plan for you. That's why there's rules. You know, if you want to look at it in this context, Jesus had rules. You know, I believe, you know, at 12 years old in the temple, Luke chapter 2, I believe at 12 years old, I believe that was where Jesus really found out what his purpose was all about. But, you know, no doubt Jesus had rules. Why? Because God, the Heavenly Father, had a plan for him. Why is it, young people, that you have rules in your home, you want to fuss and complain and, you know, stand your ground and rebel and so forth? You know why? Because your mom and dad has a better plan for you than you, than what you think. I want to do this, I want to do that. You know, teenagers, you hate the word no, don't you? You know, the truth of the matter is, that word no is probably the safest word you'll ever hear as a teenager when you think about it. A young person, little child, when your mom and dad says no, don't do this, or don't do that, or don't watch that, and so forth. Hey, there's a reason. Hey, that word, little word no is a lot more protective than you ever can imagine. No, Christ's mind was focused upon his Father's plan. Hey, you need to be focused, teenager. Hey, church member, you ought to be focused upon what Jesus and what God has for you. Can we have a mind of Christ when we knowingly pump that garbage of the world in our mind? Does your music cause you to think on Christ above and eternal things, or the things that are temporal here on earth? Just as God had a plan for Jesus, he has a plan for us. Today's music and Hollywood and illicit behavior and all that promotion of that junk, it will destroy God's plan for your life. You know, there's no safer place than to be in the center of God's will. I think I mentioned it the other night. You know, I've heard parents say, "Boy, you know, I fear that my child may get called of God and go to Africa or Zambia or some other foreign country to be a missionary." Every time I say that, I said, "You know what? Yeah, I know you missed your child and so forth, but you've had him for 18 years, and truth matters, that's what you want. When you think of it, you want them to be in center of God's will. You want them to be, and you know what? I would much rather have my child be called and go where God wants them to be, because I know that is the safest place for them. That's why I'm training them. I want them to go ahead, and I don't care what it is. It may be preaching, it may be plumbing, it may be carpentering. I don't care what it is, but I want my child to be in the center of God's will because I know it's the safest place for them. But you see, God has a plan for you. That kind of music and the friends that don't want a thing to do with Christ or the church and your daily soaps and your sex-driven Hollywood movies and your bad language and your internet pornography and all that junk, all these things are to deter you from the goal that God has for you. Whether you're a teen or a church member, adult or what have you, God has a plan for you to fill. Paul said, you know what? Paul was after that plan. Paul said, I press toward the mark, or literally, I am in pursuit of a goal that God has for me. Hey, you know what? I want to fire our church up. I want to fire you teenagers up. I want to fire you adults up. I even want to fire you little kids up to be in pursuit of a goal that God has for you. Paul faced much opposition, but kept on moving forward in pursuit of God's will. We do not have to live the average or status quo. We can, in power of God, make improvements in every area that God has given us. We can press towards the mark in our marriage. We can press towards the mark in our room and in our work, rather. You know, there's no room for laziness. You know, I can't, you know, laziness just really bothers me, by the way. You know, just kind of lazy and not want to do anything and sit back. And, you know, you teenagers, I said a moment, you need to learn how to work. Sweating won't hurt you any. If you fall down, get hurt on the job, you know what? I'm not for that, but get up. Sometimes you can get up and brush off. If you got a little hangnail teenager, just deal with it and you just keep on working. What I'm trying to say, there's no room for laziness. You ought to learn how to work. We all ought to learn how to work. We live in this welfare mentality. Let the government go ahead and take care of every single need. You know, that's not right. You know what? Work. Work. The Bible teaches work. Hey, you know what? We can press towards the mark in our ministry. Our preparation should be better than ever for that Sunday school class. Boy, you know what? If you've been teaching a class for a while, you ought to sit there, or maybe you, maybe even be a new teacher. You ought to have a vision. Okay, where is this class going to go? Where do I want to take this class? How am I going to go ahead and treat these kids? How am I going to go ahead and teach these kids? What can I do for these boys and girls? What can I do for these teenagers? What can I do for these adults? Hey, you know what? Your ministry ought to be more prepared. You ought to have a mark and head towards something. Or have a goal set in your ministry. You ought to have a goal set in your child rearing. Don't tell me it's too tough to keep on going in your marriage and your in life and duty. I don't think, you know, when you look at where Paul is right now, we're not suffering quite like Paul is right now. None of us in prison tonight. And last I knew, I don't know of anybody here that's been cast out of a city and stoned. You know, let's look at it in a little bit of perspective. So how did Paul, real quickly, how did Paul keep pressing on? Number one, and we find it in verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, he forgot the things which are behind. You know, he did not dwell on past defeats, mistakes, or sin. You know, Paul could have. You know, you think about it. Paul could have gone ahead, and I've got to take this off because I'm a little warm tonight. It gets a little hot up here, okay? I promise you that's as far as I'll go. Anyways, amen. It's okay. It's all right. We can laugh tonight. All right. It's okay. We're in church. You know, one of the greatest places we can smile and laugh in church. It's okay. But you know, how did Paul keep pressing on? Number one, he forgot those things which are behind. He did not dwell on the past defeats or mistakes or sins. You know, he could have been a defeatist. He could have sat there in prison or even the first battle that he faced in his ministry. You know, I did deserve this. You know, he could have gone ahead and dwelled way back to the time when he was persecuting Christians. Said, yeah, I deserve this. And he could have gone ahead and quit. But, you know, you look at all through the years, and I don't have all the time tonight, but you know the history of Paul, how he preached, and he went on missionary journeys. He planted churches, and he won people to Christ. And he went through some adversity and some heartaches and some ups and downs in life. But you know what? He forgot those things which are behind. He was in jail here. He did not dwell on past defeats, mistakes, or sins. We often give up what we feel. We do not measure up to others' Christianity. You know, we often feel like when trials come, we kind of give up and so forth. And if we can't measure up to somebody else, the Bible says 2 Corinthians 10:12, it's not wise to measure yourself against others. It is not wise. You ought to be looking, you ought not be looking at others, but concentrating on you. You know, we say, I wish I could be as talented as so-and-so. I wish I could preach like so-and-so. I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. I wish I could have that bus route or whatever the case may be. You know, you ought to just stop looking at what others do and others' talents and concentrate on you. You know, you work on you and do what God wants you to do. Do not concentrate on what you can't do. Concentrate on what you can do for God. You know, Paul, you know, in my studies, Paul was really not a real big guy. I believe, in a little bit of study, you know, he had a thorn in the flesh, and I kind of wonder, I'm not for sure, but I wonder if that thorn in the flesh might have been that he had bad eyesight, you know, and I heard other preachers allude to the fact that Paul was kind of a small guy and maybe a guy with a squeaky voice. I don't know, but reading a little bit about him, you know, that might be his stature. But whatever the case may be, you know what? He didn't go ahead and let his thorn in the flesh defeat him. He didn't go ahead and let prison go ahead and defeat him. You know, he didn't concentrate on the ability of others. He worked on himself. And the truth of the matter is, stop looking at what others can do and their talents. You concentrate on what you can do for God. But by the way, don't you let your inability keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. You know, here's what we do. Sometimes we say, well, I can't teach a class, I can't soul win, I can't do this, I can't do that. Let me ask you a question. Before you start saying I can't, have you ever considered the fact, can you? Well, I don't think I can go out soul winning. Have you ever tried? I don't think I can teach a class. Have you ever prayed about it and thought about it? I don't think I could ride a bus. Have you ever ridden a bus before? You see, sometimes we automatically think that we can't do something, but we've never even tried it. You know, sometimes you gotta, you know, and I said earlier, a goal is something to go ahead and at least you're going to shoot for something. Man, instead of defeating yourself and shooting yourself in the foot before you say, I can't, why don't you at least give it a shot? And you know what? When you give it a shot, you might find, hey, this is pretty fun. You know, you get on that bus and you see the kids excited and singing songs and praising the Lord. You know, you might, before you realize, well, I can't do that. But if you decide, hey, I'm going to give it a shot one Sunday, you might realize, hey, this is pretty fun. You know, we automatically think that our inabilities and our things that maybe we can't do and different things, we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot and say, I can't go ahead and do that. You look at your inabilities and say, no, that can't be done. Some of us look at our past sins. And maybe there's some sins of the past that will limit you from ever being exactly what God wants you to do. But the truth of the matter is, get past the past. You know, if it's under the blood, forget about it and move on. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches. You know what? If it's confessed, you know what? God's already forgot about it. You're the only one worrying about it. You know, it's at the depths of the sea. It's all been confessed. It's all under the blood of Jesus Christ if you confess it. And you know what? God says, I see it no more. He says, what sin are you talking about, man? You know, and you think, and you sit there, well, preacher, I can't do this. I can't do this. You don't understand my past. You know what? Sometimes we just got to get over our past. You know, Paul had quite a past. Apostle Paul had quite a past. But God, you know what, used him to be the greatest missionary, probably the greatest preacher. He probably won more souls to Christ than any man ever in this world. God used him mightily. Hey, don't let your defeats. Hey, you know what Paul said? Hey, I'm going to forget those things. I'm going to forget about the defeats of the past. I'm going to forget about those things that would keep me from being discouraged. And I'm going to forget about those things. Don't let the sin of the past keep you from going forward. You don't have to curl up and die because of your past. You know, Paul was a Christian hater, but guess what he is now? He's a Christ lover. You know, he hated Christians, he persecuted, but when God changed his life, when he had that great change, let me tell you something, he loved Christ and he preached Christ. Paul did not let his past slow him down. Paul did not let past circumstances keep him from going forward. He said, I press toward the mark. That kind of attitude might just save some of our marriages tonight, might help rear your kids, might help your job situation. If we would just say, I'm going to go ahead and press toward the mark on the job, I'm going to press toward the mark in every area of my life, and that kind of attitude just might help in a lot of areas. Paul did not let past failure get him down. He did not let past victories mark an end of his ministry in Christian life. You know, I just tell my bus workers this. I had 5 bus routes that I oversaw at Calvary Baptist Church. And I'd have programs similar to what we have. Preacher would have a pastor's program, and he'd introduce it, and I'd oversee the bus program and the promotions and different things. I'd say, okay, we're going to have so many on this day and different things and so forth and so on, and we'd have some big days every year. Every year, we'd have some big days. We would shoot for certain crowd and see many people saved. We'd have baptism days. We'd have soul winning days, salvation days. We'd have attendance days. We wanted people to get saved and so forth. And but I never went ahead. I always told my bus workers, we're not, okay, yes, we had a big day. We hit our attendance goal. We did everything that we had laid out and prayed over and planned out. But you know what? That's a past victory. I go ahead and tell them, okay, now it's time. We got to do something more. You know, oftentimes we'll go ahead and let past victories measure our success. Yeah, oftentimes we'll let past victories of the day, well, we reached 100 in church. That was a goal that preacher said. Well, that's good enough. No, you know what? We reached 100. Now let's go ahead and reach for 120. Now let's go ahead and step up. Let's go ahead and move forward. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you know, Paul didn't go ahead and sit there and in prison and let his past sins defeat him. And he also didn't let past victories go ahead and keep him from going forward. He said, you know, I started many churches. I've won many souls. He's in prison. He was limited at this time. He couldn't go out and preach the gospel. But you know what? He sat there and said, you know what? I may not be able to go soul winning outside of these prison walls, but I can witness to that jail guard. I can go ahead and read, write more Bible. I can go ahead and sing the songs of praise. I can go ahead and be a testimony in this jail cell. What I'm trying to say, Paul didn't sit there and just shrivel up and die in prison. He said, I press toward the mark. We ought not let past victories go ahead and defeat us. Or say, well, we've arrived. We hit that number. Hey, preacher, we hit 150 on October 19th. Well, you know what? If we do that, let's go up a little bit. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. You know what? We ought not let past. And by the way, and I'm for the remembrance of past victories. You know, you ought to put them in your memory bank and say, boy, I remember when all these kids got saved on that day and we hit that attendance goal and we did this and did this. But you know what? I remember that. You ought to put them in your memory bank because they're precious memories. But now let's keep on moving forward. That's what Paul is saying here. Said, let's keep on moving forward. Paul could have sat there and said, I'm too old. I'm going to die here in prison. He could have dwelled on the past victories he had in the ministry and said, well, those days are long gone. He says, no, I'm going to press towards the mark. Victories of church planting, soul winning, great preaching meetings he had, he could have just dwelled on that and said, well, I've arrived. But he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, I'm reaching, forgetting those things which are behind. He said, I'm going to keep on going forward. I will press toward the mark. I will not just live on past victories. I'm not going to go ahead and be defeated by past sins. I'm going to keep on keeping on. Past victories must not be the end of our success. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've had the good old days around here. And praise the Lord for that. I think they ought to be right up here, and you ought to look back at the precious memories and never, ever, 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 ever forget them. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? As we turn another chapter, as we turn another page, you know what? We must keep on going forward. We could just be average. We could just be status quo. We could say, well, I've arrived and this is where we're at. No, you know what? We ought to just keep on pressing toward the mark. We have more boys and girls to pick up on that bus. We have more big days to go ahead and run. We have more souls that need to be won. We have more people that we need to go ahead and reach. Yes, we had them in the past. We had big days in the past. And don't ever forget them. But don't just sit there and dwell on the days of old. Let's dwell on some new days that are ahead of us. Don't dwell on the defeats and sins of the past and quit. Get up and press on. Don't dwell on the victories of the past. Go forward. Press toward the mark for a sweeter marriage. Press toward the mark for a sweeter Sunday school class. Be prepared for that class, for your ministry. Press toward the mark for sweeter relationships. Press toward the mark for a sweeter relationship on the job and a better work ethic. Hey, then he said, number two, how do you keep pressing on? He said, number two, reaching forth for the things which are not. Reaching forth. Let's read it right here in the Bible. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul was not a defeatist. Prison didn't destroy him. All the happenings in his life did not defeat him. He said, I'm in prison. I will witness. I can write more Bible. I can pray. You know, he kept on going. You know, Christians quit oftentimes because they have not learned how to handle the surroundings in their life. When the battles come, they just don't know how to handle it. So that's why they quit. You know what? I'm encouraging you tonight, if you're defeated, if you're laid out flat on your back and you're defeated and you're upset and so forth, I'm encouraging you, get up. Get up. Get up. Because let me tell you something, leader. Let me tell you something, mom and dad. Somebody's seeing that. Somebody's seeing that defeatist attitude. Somebody's watching you down and discouraged and ready to quit on God. What I'm trying to say, get up, get up, get up, get up, and get up and go forward tonight. We need to reach forth for better days here at Faith Baptist Church. We need to reach forth for better marriages. We need to press forth for better testimonies. Paul's testimony was immaculate after he got saved. When you look at how he stood for Christ, we need to reach forth, reach forth. Teenagers, I need to reach forth for the will of God. You know, if God called you to serve, he meant it. You know, I don't think once, I don't think twice, if you will, when God called me to preach at 16, that he didn't mean it. I know what happened when I was 16. You know, and a teenager, if God's called you to do something big, hey, you know what? He meant it. Don't settle for second best. You know, Romans 11, 29, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God didn't change his mind. You know, that means he didn't change his mind. If God's gone ahead and called you to do something big, teenager, go after it. God's called you to go soul winning, church member, go after it. If God's called you to go ahead and serve in church, hey, go after it. Hey, don't just go ahead and live the status quo and live the normal. Hey, what I'm saying, reach forth for some things that are before you. Don't let the influences of the world and peers tell you there's a better way. Church members, don't get swayed by the world and figure out a better way. Faith Baptist Church, we do not need to figure out a better way to do God's work here. We don't need a better Bible. I've got the best right here. Well, I don't need a better songbook. I've got the best hymns of the faith that are tried and tested right here. I don't need a better way to reach people. I got soul winning, and I'll go after them one at a time because that's a Bible way. Hey, what I'm trying to say tonight, hey, I press toward the mark. And how about you, church member? You know, just shrivel up and die because of the circumstances in your life. You know what? Hey, we have one great example right here. The Apostle Paul, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived, that said, I'm going to press toward the mark. Prison didn't defeat him. Being cast out of cities and being mocked and scorned didn't go ahead. You know what? But Christians, because they have a little bit of criticism because of their stand, because of the way they dress, because of them doing right and the desire to do right, they say, well, I can't handle this, so I'm going to go ahead and go the way of the world. Hey, get some grit about you and stand strong for Jesus tonight. Hey, why forget the past and why reach forward? Because we all have a mark to reach. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. You know, I want God's will for your teens. That's why I preach the heart. I want God's will for your church families. That's why I won't waver. I'm not going to budge. I'm going to stay on my ground. I don't care what the religious crowd outside these walls think. You know, I'm just going to stay on my ground tonight. You know why? Because I care about you. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm not looking for popularity. I just want to press toward the mark. And I want to press toward the mark for me and my family and my church. Hey, I mentioned earlier, our program theme is press toward the mark. What can you do this next 5 weeks? What can you do? Hey, preacher, you know, I can pray, then pray. Preacher, you know, I think I could go out soul winning, then go out soul winning. Preacher, I think I could do this, then go ahead and do it. Preacher, I think I can bring in some visitors the next 5 weeks, get them under the sound of the gospel, then go ahead and do it. What can you do? Hey, I press towards a mark. I'm challenging you tonight. You know, I've got a mark for our church to reach, and I think we can do it, 150 on October 19th. I really do. But it's going to take us all to roll up our sleeves and do it. We need your help. We have incentives course for every age, every single one of you. You know what? You know why I wanted the little children to get involved? Because it's good for them to learn how to be a servant. You know, if the young kids here, your little boys and girls that are sitting beside you tonight, don't learn how to be a servant now, they'll never learn it. You know, I want them to learn how to be a servant. I want them to learn how to live for God and do right and so forth. That's why we have it. That's why we have these incentives. I'd love to have you be a part this next 5 weeks. You know, I said earlier, I find that some of the closest friendships I have in the church is when I just simply roll up my sleeves and work side by side out on the streets knocking doors with you. Coming to church and working and laboring together. You know what? That's sweet, fellow. There's no greater fellowship than that, really. When you just come together and go out as a soul-winning team or work together in the church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or different times throughout the week. You know what? There's no better bond than that. You know, Paul's in prison. I'm through here. He was limited to what he could really do. Or most of us would have thought, well, you know what? I'm in prison. God, this just isn't fair. God, this This just isn't fair. I can't believe. I mean, Paul could have had kind of the attitude like some of us would have. Paul, God, I went ahead and I preached for you and I've done this, I've done this. Oh, you know what? I had a few stonings and I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and keep on going. But, now I'm at the end of my life, I'm in prison. Some of us would have had that kind of attitude. But you know what? Nowhere will you find in Scripture here that he had that kind. He says, I'm going to press towards. I'm in prison. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on serving God. What marks have you got set? How about your marriage tonight? A little bit shaky, is it? Feel like you want to quit? Feel like you want to, whatever the case may be? You can have a sweet marriage. You really can. How about your job tonight? How about relationships? How about the other areas of your life tonight? What marks have you got set? What can you do this program time? Can you go soul winning? Can you bring visitors? Can you pray for our church? Hey, Paul said, I press toward the mark. I'm in pursuit of a goal. I'm going to go ahead and serve God. I'm going to keep on. I don't care what befalls me. I don't care what trips me up. And if I do fall, the Bible says a just man falls seven times and stays down. No. He gets back up. I like that. The very fact that, and Paul was a just man, yet he fell down many times. People tripped him up a lot. I can see him in his journey. Once he got saved, he immediately started preaching, started winning souls to Christ. And, he falls down. But what's he do? He gets back up and brushes off and says, I'm going to press towards the mark. And as he gets older and as other things happen to him and as other adversities, he falls down. He gets back up. He falls down. He gets back up. He falls down. He gets back up. Hey, what I'm trying to say tonight, we need to just keep going forward. And if you're falling down, maybe you're down tonight. You're down for the count tonight, Christian. Get up. Get up. Get up. You're kind of stagnating in your Christian life tonight, Christian. Hey, go ahead and get up and stop stagnating and stop being rotten, if you will. You don't have to rot on the vine. You can get up and you can go forward tonight. Hey, there is hope tonight and Jesus is still on the throne. And one of these days, God's going to go ahead and say, son, go get my children. But until then, we're all commanded to go win the souls of lost men. Until then, we're all commanded to go ahead and press toward the mark. Hey, we ought to be building stronger families tonight. We ought to be rearing our kids for Christ tonight. We ought to be infiltrating the gospel out into this lost world tonight. Hey, what I'm trying to say, let's press towards the mark. Faith Baptist Church, Faith Baptist Church, Faith Baptist Church, I press toward the mark. How about you? How about you? How about you, teenager? Going to press towards the mark on purity, upon doing right, upon respecting mom and dad. Hey, church member, you got to go ahead and press towards the mark and be a good example to the youngins. Hey, what I'm saying, pressing towards the mark. Heavenly Father, sure to love you. Very practical, very simple. I know it was. I want to challenge my people. I care much about these people. I want nothing but blessing upon their families. I want nothing but blessing upon these teenagers, these young people. God, I want to be the kind of example to these people that I ought to be. I want to be the kind of man that just keeps pressing forward, the kind of preacher. I'm not looking for status quo. I don't want to be just average. And God, I'm not looking for popularity either. If we grow, it's going to be because it's your way and it's what you want and different things. I'm not looking for all that, but I want to just be exactly what you want us to be. And God, I challenge our people. Maybe there's some marriages that are hurting tonight. Maybe there's some relationships that are hurting tonight. Maybe there's some other areas that are hurting tonight. I pray, God, maybe they'll reset the button and not quit on them relationships and them areas. But maybe tonight there's some folks that could go ahead and say, I can be part of this fall program. I can go ahead and reach the mark that preacher has and that God had laid on preacher's heart to go ahead and have. I can go ahead and be a part of the ministries of Faith Baptist Church. I pray, dear